This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck, and hosting you for the first hour. Sure, an interesting week this week in the equity markets, U.S. equity markets, and quite frankly, markets around the world looking weak. The real story is, though, the U.S. markets starting to finally show some signs of weakness when international markets have been weak for a while now. We even started to see some money flow into the metals sector, not just in terms of the precious metals, but also in terms of the precious metals stocks. All very interesting, and something that we're going to cover here in this first segment with my good friend Dana Lyons. He is the fund manager based out of Chicago. Dana, I want to start with the U.S. market move down. You and I are recording this pretty much close to the close on Thursday, so we don't know where the markets are going to end on Friday, but I think we can confidently say that this week has been a rough one for U.S. equities. You and I have been talking a number of months ago about the internals of these markets. Breath was weak. A lot of what we were seeing kind of behind the scenes was saying, you know what, there could be some sort of a sell-off coming. We're finally seeing it now. I just want you to address to us, is this market move down for real?
Thanks, Corey. Yes, it is for real. I think it's not a surprise to us, for any of your listeners that have been listening to our discussions, our recent discussions over the last month or so. We've been getting increasingly more serious warning signs, red flags, whatever, especially from the from the lack of volatility confirmation, or the volatility remaining well above its lows at recent peaks in the stock market, and probably more pertinent, fast deteriorating internal situation with the breath starting to tail off rapidly, especially in the small and mid caps, even as the large cap averages hung up near their near new highs, or near all time highs at that. So when that happens, that's pretty much a straightforward and transparent warning sign that those new highs should not be trusted. You know, people say the only thing that matters is price, but price is not predictive. You know, that's why we look at various measures of sentiment, I should say, on top of sentiment, various measures of breath and internals and that type of thing, to see if the foundation for that price move for those new highs is there. And indeed, that's been crumbling at a pretty fast clip even before this sell-off started. So that gave us a good heads up to do some significant amount of de-risking, if you will, prior to the sell-off of the last week or so. So we did. I'm not saying our timing is perfect, but I think we tried to put out even some free posts out there over the last couple weeks pointing out some of these red flags, including the spike in the new lows, even as the averages were hitting new highs. So hopefully folks were able to heed some of that warning and get out of the way at least some of this recent sell-off. I will say, to answer your question, is the sell-off for real? Yes, it is, because of that deteriorating internal foundation that that appeared before the sell-off occurred. So this isn't like the sell-off that we saw at the beginning of the year, which came right off the highs. Most indices, most breath measures were still coming right off the highs when that sell-off started. This one saw a deteriorating foundation prior to the really the sell-off in prices. So this one certainly has the look of a more serious, longer-term situation, should have more to go, even after whatever dead cat initial bounce we get maybe here in the short term.
So, Dana, you mentioned the maybe reallocation of some money into more defensive plays. I had a number of conversations this week, one very interesting one with Mike Larson, another one with our friend Chris Temple, that talked about the shift that we already started to see towards more value stocks away from these growth-oriented stocks that continue to outperform anything of value over the last number of years. Do you think that is a key fundamental shift we were seeing and continue to see within the markets, more towards value and away from growth?
It's definitely on the radar. I don't think it's something that we could definitively say is in gear yet. We've seen growth, outperform just basically nonstop for almost a decade now. So we've had lots of fits and starts from value that just didn't hold up. We'll see if this time is different. It remains to be seen. We're not in that camp yet. I think a lot of it was just an overallocation to these growth and momentum type stocks, and a lot of that is coming off the table now, especially as the sell-off accelerates, because people are going to sell what they can, and there's a lot of money in those types of issues. So whether it's just one of those rotational issues or if it's more of a cyclical shift, if you will, remains to be seen. But certainly that is, if we see more definitive signs of a trend break in that growth versus value and more towards value, then that should be another sign that, you know, the overall market environment's probably not a very constructive one for the overall market.
All right, let's also talk about the shift that we saw in terms of where money went in the later part of the week, and that was towards precious metals. We saw gold make a good move, silver even moved up, and the precious metals stocks also garnered a bid. What's your take on this? I know you're very much neutral on the precious metals. You were waiting for some more aggressive moves higher to maybe get more bullish. Where do you stand now on these, just the moves this week?
I would say I'm more convinced now that it's that perhaps we're seeing a low of some significance, maybe not long term, but maybe on the intermediate term duration, more significance, and the potential for a bigger rise than perhaps I would have said before Thursday's move. We had been stuck. The positive over the last couple months is that the down move in gold, and looking at the GLD and the gold stocks, maybe the GDX and the gold bugs index, the move stopped where they were supposed to. Up until Thursday, they had not basically broken the back of that downtrend. I would say Thursday's move proved that and broke the key resistance, and I think opened up A, more upside, and B, open up more of a possibility that this is perhaps a more significant bottom in the making. I don't think it doesn't prove to me that it's some sort of a long-term bottom by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly over the next weeks to months, perhaps we could see some more upside in the gold complex.
So maybe a little bit of momentum to the upside, but still a lot of work to do for the metals to draw in a lot of these generalist investors, kind of as you pointed out there. Final comment on the U.S. dollar. When the U.S. market sold off, we did not see that money necessarily flow into the U.S. dollars. Sometimes we can do an almost that safe haven play. Do you think there's a concern here for the dollar to potentially trend further lower?
I don't think there's any evidence that it's going lower yet. I mean, we saw it was basically, for now, we give the benefit of the doubt to the upside because it's been in an uptrend for most of the year. But for the most part, over the last couple months, we're basically moving sideways. So honestly, I can't say we see much of an edge either way, up or down for the dollar, which I know it got clipped on Thursday, which aided the precious metals move. But it would be nice to see the metals move even, you know, irrespective of what the dollar is doing. So that might be a good clue, a good marker to keep your eye on what the precious metals do, even if the dollar continues to stagnate here in the trading range.
Dana, it's great having you on the show. Thanks for kicking off this weekend edition. I look forward to chatting with you in a couple weeks. And everybody stick around. I am going to be right back with more technical commentary from Avi Gilbert. Thanks again, Dana.
Thanks, Corey.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. Privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about Down Home Value, made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Do you have any of these symptoms? Night cramps in the hands and feet. Your arms and legs often go to sleep. On short walks, do your legs get aches and pains? Is your memory worse than it used to be? Ankles that swell late in the day? Has your blood pressure increased lately? If you answered yes to even one of these questions, you may have early warning signs of arterial blockages. Your body is saying that it is time to take Extendivite. These are not the normal signs of aging. They are the warning signs that accompany blocked arteries. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.
Your weekly fix
on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. As promised, we are chatting with Abby Gilbert right now from the Elliott Wave Traders website. Abby is a regular on our show, and I get a lot of positive comments when I do bring Abby on the show. Abby, I want to get right into it because we have a couple markets that I want your updated technicals on, the first being the U.S. equity markets. Let's look at the S&P. Looking at the SPX chart here, we saw a lot of volatility and a pretty substantial down move this week in the S&P. One subscriber emailed me and said, now that this 2770 level was broken, the level that you were watching, does that mean that we're in a full-fledged bear market, even though we were able, or the S&P was able, to regain that 2770 level, at least briefly on Friday?
Well, what I've told my members, I mean, once we started heading up to our long-term target, just to take a step back, our long-term target in the S&P 500 was a minimal target of 3,011, but more of an ideal target of 3,225. Unfortunately, we came up, I think, about 60 points shy or so of our ideal target that we set several years ago. And, you know, so that's a little bit concerning to me in that the market may still try to stretch higher for those targets. But the way I'm looking at it right now, what I told my members is once we broke below 2880, I told them you really have to start taking some risk off the table. A breakdown below 2880 could present us with very limited upside to no more upside at all. So once we broke through 2880, I was telling people, it's time to take off some risk. And right now, it's really a good position to be in to take off some risk. The market may still try to stretch for that 3,011 into the end of the year. But if we go down to 2,600 from here, that's really where the market's going to be tested. So next week, I think it's going to be a very, very key week for the market. If the market continues down to 2,600, the manner in which we rally off of that 2,600 region is going to tell me, have we started the major bear market that I expect for the next year or two, which is pointing down to the 2,100 region, or is the market going to still try to reach those levels over 3,000? And the rally off of 2,600 is going to tell me. But if next week we rally instead of drop, there's a very small window that the market may still try to stretch for that 3,011 region. The lack of hitting our minimum targets leaves some question in my mind, but getting down to 2,600 is going to give us our real answer how we move off of 2,600.
So it sounds like the technicals are a little bit muddied here just because some of those minimum targets weren't reached, but by outlining some of the upper targets of the 3,011 and the lower target of 2,100, it sounds like the upside, at least in your eyes, is very limited compared to that downside for the S&P.
Absolutely. This is what I would say again. If we get down to 2,600, I would expect a rally. And I would expect a rally probably back towards the 2,800 region, 2,900 maybe. But the nature of that rally is going to tell us if we're going to be shorting for a drop back down to 2,100 or if the market can still stretch to the 3,000 region. Next week, again, it should be the key. If you start seeing the market rallying next week, then we may still try to stretch for that 3,011 region into the year end. If we go down next week to the 2,600, we'll get a rally into the end of the year, but there's a good chance that rally may be pointing us back down to 2,100 rather than new highs. So, you know, once we got to 2,880, it was time to de-risk. Now we have to evaluate how the market develops.
So is this time frame to the end of the year where you think kind of the top, if we do get another top in these markets, could lead us?
Absolutely. Ultimately, I'm looking for us to have a 30% correction. Now, that's really what I'm looking at, and this is the perspective we've had for years now. From an Elliott Wave perspective, we're looking for the top of Wave 3 off the 2009 lows. Once the top of Wave 3 off the 2009 lows completes, we're looking for a 20 to 30% correction in Wave 4. And so that's really what we're feeling out at the moment. Has wave three ended? We haven't hit our target. And when we don't hit our target, you know, it's rare that the market is not going to hit the target and then continue in the next direction. More often than not, markets hit the targets. And when they don't hit the targets, it tells us, you know what, we have to keep our mind open just a little bit longer. But right now, it's not a position where I want to be trading for the upside just yet. Let's put it that way.
Okay, yeah, I don't blame you. But in terms of when this wave four starts, any idea on time frame, how long it could take to go through that 30% or around 30% correction that you're expecting?
My expectation is probably a year to 2 years long.
And now let's look at the precious metals. Let's look at GLD. What do you see in that GLD chart where gold finally was able to break that kind of short-term trading range that it was in, trading at a level that we hadn't seen since kind of the end of July? Are we in for a better gold market to, let's say, the year end?
Well, I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you what absolutely will happen, but I can tell you where my parameters lie. When we broke down below 117.40 a number of months ago, we were looking for at least 109 on the GLD, and that's pretty much what we bottomed at in the summer around that 109 region, especially in the after hours movement in gold. So once we hit that 109 region, we started to look for a rally. Our primary expectation was that rally was going to be corrective in nature, and we were looking for a rally from that 109 region up to 116.25 was the ideal target. And as we stand now, I think we've come within, what, about 20-some-odd cents of that target. On the upper end of that is 118.25. So 116.25 to 118.25 presents your major resistance points. As long as this resistance holds, I'm expecting to go back down to 109 and even as deep as 105 potentially over the next couple of months. But I'm expecting us to hold that 105 in the worst case scenario. I'm expecting us to hold that 105, and then that's when we begin a major multi-year rally. But for now, we're sitting just under the resistance we looked for in this rally, and if we break down below 114.60 from here, then that can open the door to that drop down to 109 or lower.
So I think the real takeaway there is for all the gold bugs, don't get too excited about this recent rally. It's not going to be a straight-up shot from here. We still have a lot of backfilling to do and to get that bull market maybe more underway.
Well, if you see us getting over 118 strongly, I would not be shorting this market.
Okay. Avi, always great chatting with you. Some interesting comments on some of the major movers this week. Avi, again, thank you for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Well, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am joined by John Kaiser, founder and editor of Kaiser Research. And John, what I want to talk about is developing a conversation that we had last week talking about the potential bubbles that can happen in the resource sector, as well as comparing those bubbles to some of the other sectors like the dot-com bubble. What we are going to dive into here are some of the companies that I would like to look at, some that have been moving up and some that you think have a potential to also develop these sort of bubble-ish mentality or trading strategies around. The first I want to talk about is Great Bear Resources. We follow Great Bear on our website, and this stock has been moving higher and higher on the back of some nice drill results, and it's one of these kind of discovery-driven plays that the market doesn't even matter what direction it generally is going in. These stories can get a lot of attention, and all you need to see is that stock chart that just continues to move higher. Oh, you spent some time with Great Bear recently when you were in Vancouver. What can you share with us about the discovery that they are in the process of making and the future prospects, please?
Well, Great Bear Resources acquired the Dixie Project, which is about 20 kilometers or so south of the Red Lake District, where Goldcorp revived a failing deposit, the Dickinson mine, back of 1999-2000, by finding a very high-grade dimension to that system at depth. And this turned into a 300,000 ounce per year high grade cash flow powerhouse that eventually leveraged that company into a much bigger company. Rob McHugh and got kicked out of it and ended up with a new company, McHugh and Mining. But the Goldcorp type of discovery is like the dream type of discovery for a junior. And the Dixie Project, it has had hundreds of holes drilled into it, which is the sort of the north limb. And it wasn't really a, you know, Red Lake type of a high-grade system. But when Great Bear auctioned, and it was just a, whatever, 25, 50-cent stock at the time, 50 million shares, fully diluted max type of thing. And they did fresh geophysics and started to see that this D1 fold that defined that north limb where all the exploration had been done in the past had a hinge where it folded around and actually a subtle south limb. So they went down into that hinge, and it turns out that this part is where a D2 fold, which is a later fold, overlaps with the D1 fold. And that creates a very sort of brittle environment for fluids to come in and create lots of high-grade veining. And they made that discovery hole a couple months ago, which brought Rob McEwen back in. He ponied up $6 million bucks as part of a $10 million financing. And drilling is now underway to define small tonnage, very high-grade resource. And the reason I like this as a bubble-type stock is because they're exploring in an area that hasn't seen any past drilling. It's all been focused on the more obvious outcropping part. And maybe it'll just be 2 million ounces of high-grade. Maybe it'll be 5 to 8 million ounces of high-grade, such as that Goldcorp. Because you have to do it step-by-step with small step out drilling and slowly build it. As long as they keep drilling and building it, the imagination of the market can keep going and going. And this is what you need for a bubble type behavior in a discovery play where nobody can definitively say, that's it, the footprint is so big, you're only going to go so far, your upside limit is that, and we're going to start discounting that. So Great Bear is a perfect example of a discovery play, which even if we get a big general market meltdown and then everybody's licking their wounds wondering what next, even though it'll sort of bend in that wind, it will come back alive and attract speculators like a honeypot.
John, can you further discuss the importance of what Great Bear has in terms of a large land position in a what's considered safe jurisdiction in this Red Lake district, as well as high grade? I think high grade is the key component here that the market still cares about and seems to always care about, even in a bear market. If you can find high grade in safe jurisdictions, then, yeah, you're kind of immune to major market pullbacks in the resource sector.
Well, yes, they're in a safe jurisdiction. It's a mining district, so it's not like you're going to disturb a pristine environment that's going to cause all kinds of problems. But most importantly, they're in the similar Red Lake Greenstone rocks, and they're tackling an area that has been sort of off limits to everybody because they just didn't understand that this was an area where gold enrichment of this mesothermal orogenic type took place. And so it's almost like accidentally showing up for the first time in Red Lake and starting to explore. This thing's far enough away that it could end up being similar to Red Lake, which makes it like huge potential.
All right, John, on this kind of trend as well, taking another look at areas that are known or using a different technique, there's a company that you've been writing about for a while, and I've been getting some questions on recently because the company did complete a recent financing. That is Nevada Exploration. As I said, they have a financing, but a lot of the issue of what they had before is what they're looking for is undercover in Nevada, but they're taking a different exploration technique that is testing groundwater samples and further kind of refining targets. What do you have to say about now the company that has money and will be drilling, the potentials of them hitting something?
In Nevada, there are these Carlin-type deposits, which are associated with what they call trends, these linear lines. There's the Battle Mountain trend that has Pipeline, Cortez, Gold Rush. There's the Carlin trend, which has the Carlin deposits, Gold Strike, Betsy Post, and at the far southern end, we have Gold Standard looking at the railroad project area, trying to find more of these deposits that form within these trends. But there's another theory that's emerged as to why these Carlin-type deposits exist in Nevada. It has to do with a large regional process where a subduction slab spent $15 million rolling back from the northeastern corner of Nevada to about the middle, literally spray painting the base of the state with a gold-enriched fluids. And where there were cracks, that's where the fluids came through, and where there was the upper plate rocks shoved on top of lower plate carbonate rocks that are chemically receptive to forming these Carlin-type deposits, there you get these fantastic projects. And these deposits could be sitting in the valleys underneath the gravel cover. And so everybody scratched their head about how do we even begin to look under the gravel of these basins. And Nevada Exploration Inc., the team headed by Wade Hodges, 15 years ago, they developed this idea of using gold in groundwater to find these anomalies along with the Carlin pathfinders, which the EPA was measuring everywhere in Nevada. And this couldn't be done more than 15 years ago because the detection limits for gold in the assay labs, the technology wasn't there because it's in parts per trillion that you measure gold in groundwater. And so they've been doing recon sampling all over Nevada, finding these places where suddenly there's a plume of gold in the other pathfinder elements and saying there's something under the gravels here. And it doesn't tell you where exactly the deposit is. It tells you there's an oxidizing gold deposit there, spewing this stuff, and it's reasonably constrained, and we can start doing conventional stuff.
All right, John, unfortunately we are out of time for this segment, but we did highlight a couple stories, one of which has already started to run, and run regardless of what the market has done because of a discovery that is underway and hopefully continues to grow. As for the other company, using some new technology to hopefully be able to isolate some resources that they will be able to drill and prove out some sort of a discovery. This market needs discoveries. There's no doubt about that. Hopefully some of these juniors can lead the way in that sense. John, great chatting with you. Again, John is the founder and editor of Kaiser Research. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back with an update focused on uranium.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool.
Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-4349 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-4349. Again, that's 800-318-4349.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know logos work because they're on everything from the top of skyscrapers to the bottom of shoes. Ever wondered why or how to best use your logo to grow your business? Let us show you today for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away the latest issue of Amplify, the digital magazine that reveals promotional product success stories absolutely free to everyone who texts UP77 to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free e-magazine will reveal invaluable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, and grow your business. Get the latest issue of Amplify absolutely free by texting UP77 to 88988. That's UP77 to 88988.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. As promised in the tail end of the last segment, we are chatting uranium, and I am joined by Scott Melby. He is the executive VP at UEC. Scott, what I wanted to follow up on is the fact of the matter that uranium on the spot market and even uranium stocks are trending higher. Uranium on the spot market still very much depressed, not necessarily enticing a lot of people or anybody to bring on more production, hence we keep on seeing production cuts. But overall, this trend higher must be encouraging. Can you take us through some of the factors that you're attributing to these recent moves higher?
Sure, Corey. And again, it's a pleasure to visit with you and your listeners. Yeah, we are very much in a uranium price recovery. It's been long awaited. But as we stand today, the spot market for uranium sits at around $27.55 per pound. Which is up 55% from the low in November 2016 of $17.75. So, have seen a very strong move. Yet there still is, some skepticism and investors wondering whether this is really the move that is reacting to the fundamentals that have been developing now for some time. I believe it is. We've had a couple, I would call them kind of false dawns in the last 2 years where on the back of very good news, production cuts and the like, we've seen the uranium price go up to about 26, 26.50, only to come back down to, around the $20 level. And, so I think, observers are really watching this to see, whether this has legs under it. And I think, clearly has broken through, 27, moving towards $28. So, and again, there's very strong fundamental reasons for that. We can start with demand. We're seeing the best demand growth in nuclear that we've seen in the past 25 years, and that's measured by reactors that we see being added to the grid, not just, construction beginning or future planned units, actual units that are producing electricity around the world. You know, we're seeing the strongest numbers in some time. Even some of the problem areas like Japan, we have 9 reactors up and running, and they're clearly now turning the corner and on their way to having 30 units producing about 20% of their electricity or more going forward, which is the government plan. Some countries that have kind of flirted with reducing their reliance on nuclear, whether it be France or Korea, have really just stepped away from what are more, you know, political positions rather than practical arguments made on science or economics. So, you know, we're seeing strong demand around the world. So it's very positive.
So, Scott, kind of on the flip side of this demand equation, and I know we've been talking about it, I feel like I've heard people saying demand's going to pick up. Look at all these reactors coming online. It's encouraging to see some of them actually online now. It's where the rubber really meets the road. But we do continue to hear at least of some talks of people wanting to reduce the reliance on uranium. A lot of this is just talk, but it does provide some political pressure. What about this aspect of the demand equation, where some people might be a little bit worried about a potential pullback in demand? How do you balance this argument out?
Sure. Well, let's just touch on 3 countries very quickly. That would be South Korea, France, and the United States. With South Korea, you have a more anti-nuclear president today in President Moon, who wanted to move away from their reliance on nuclear energy, which is amazing because South Korea is one of the most successful countries in the world today in terms of building and operating nuclear power plants. He's basically had to step back from that because of the public opposition and certainly industry opposition to such a strategy. So, you know, they're kind of stepping away and saying, well, we'll continue to gradually reduce in the future. France has had a similar response where the Green Party, which forms a coalition with President Macron's government, you know, had wanted to see the reliance on nuclear go from almost 75% down to 50% of their electricity needs. Macron has been very, very forceful on this and has said he will not sacrifice European energy competitiveness and their clean air goals for an idealistic policy. And so they saw the environment minister resign recently and a new one be named. And, you know, now they're kind of kicking that can down the road and saying, well, maybe out in the 2030s, you know, we'll begin to look at, you know, a reduced reliance, which is in political speak, might as well be never. So so those are definitely positive. In the United States, it's really it's 2 markets, right? It's you have the regulated markets, where, you know, stable markets, there's new build occurring in Georgia. But then you have the deregulated markets where the market structures don't value the clean baseload power that is nuclear. But nuclear is clearly very cost competitive at anywhere from 3 to 5 cents per kilowatt hour. It can compete on a level playing field with gas, coal, and beat renewables hands down. The good news here is that states are really taking the action here. They are being encouraged by the federal government, but it's really the states, mainly New York, Illinois, New Jersey, and Connecticut have passed legislation to level the playing field, to recognize the stability aspects of nuclear power and the clean air value that it brings. We also have that debate ongoing right now in Ohio and Pennsylvania, and it's certainly being encouraged by the Trump administration and FERC, and looking at kind of critical infrastructure in that important part of the country where there's incredible demand for electricity. So, again, all, by and large, in the emerging markets, the growth is off the charts. In the established markets where some of these challenges and headwinds have been raised, we're seeing positive developments pretty much in all 3 of those countries.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, and I do believe that there is this spot in the overall energy complex for nuclear energy. It does a very good service for that overall need that we have. But then again, on the supply side of things, we're struggling with getting more companies, first of all, involved in this sector, and also those companies in production can't really make any money at these current levels, even with this uptrend. Where do you see a sweet spot for where some companies, A, get some more money in the door, and B, will be able to, instead of cutting production, could actually level it off at some point?
Well, yeah, that's the situation we're in right now is that, at $27 a pound, probably 90% of global production is underwater at that level. So we do need to see significant increases in price. I think Cameco's decision to shut in the world's largest mine and mill complex at MacArthur and Key Lake is a great example. That's a world-class mine. However, as a world-class asset, it deserves a world-class return on the investment in those assets. And so they're committed to keep those operations down truly until the market rebalances. And Cameco not only helps that on the supply side by shutting in production, they also are in the market as a buyer and influencing demand to backfill their contract commitments. So, in their case, I'm not sure they've really come out and said exactly where they need prices, but I think they've implied that for those world-class assets, they need to see prices north of $40 a pound, sustainable. I think they're in a better position than most. I think if you looked at new mine developments or expansion of existing mines that required a lot of capital investment, we're probably looking at incentive prices north of $60 or $70 a pound. So we do have quite, a run in this uranium market price recovery to still yet occur to get to a point where production responds. And then even when we are at a price level that supports those kind of investments, you're still looking at very long lead time, sometimes 7 to 10 years, to go through the permitting, licensing, construction, not to mention the billion-dollar capital investments to bring big conventional operations online. So I think the inefficiency of the uranium market that has kept it down for as long as it has also will help keep prices strong and some legs under the market recovery when it goes the other way here.
All right, Scott, great chatting with you. Thank you for that update on the uranium market. As I said, I know a lot of our listeners and some of the newsletter writers that I chat to are turning more and more bullish in this sector, but it is just the very beginning if it can truly get into more of a bull market. There are things both from the fundamental and technical side of things that do have myself encouraged, but again, it will all take time, and the uranium sector is always susceptible to some sort of a major news event. Hopefully that doesn't happen, and hopefully this trend upward does continue. Scott, again, thank you for your time, everybody. I appreciate you listening to the first hour of the weekend edition. Please always get in touch with me through my email, fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you, and I always do my best to follow up with you and the companies that you want my thoughts on. Thank you, everybody. Have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Times are changing. The circus of politics, healthcare's low standards and high prices, and let's not forget food quality. What to do? Arm yourself with Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. In a world of chemical imbalance and poor air and water quality, it's time you make a move. Log on to GetTheTea.com and stock up on organic non-GMO supplements. Don't forget the tea. Cleansing your body never felt so good. And we have a brand new tea called Takedown Tea, which helps support healthy glucose. All natural body support so you can be at your best. Naturally. All you have to do is log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. We're not a fad that comes and goes. We are the real deal. Join us and armor up. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Changing America's health one tea bag at a time.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.